Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, one of the hosts for the longest-running Dynasty-focused podcast on the planet, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Each week, we'll bring you an episode packed with relevant and actionable Dynasty information that you can use to help win your league. When I'm in the host chair, we might even play a game or two. We are always open to topic suggestions, so if there's something you'd like to hear us discuss, please let us know. Thanks for listening.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. I'ma win, it's a turn. You gotta cheat before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade Addicts Pod, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 140 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we will. So how'd that feel, Rocky? Clearly, you're listening. If you listened last week, I told everyone that Rocky's going to be the new co-host. Rocky is here. Rocky is the new co-host. How'd it feel to say those words in the seat you are now sitting in?
It felt very good, Russ. I talked about this some on Junkies, but this is sort of like a dream come true for me. Not to embarrass you or anything, but
oh no, please keep going.
I was very happy when you asked. I listened to way too many pods now, but this is until about a year ago. This is one of only two I listened to, and 9 months ago, I wasn't even podcasting. And now to think I'm hosting this show that I've loved for the last 3 years or whatever it is kind of amazing. I'm very excited. I do want to say, I have to bring this up after the Twitter thing today that, Tyler Karp, I knew you weren't going to. Tyler Karp asked you to talk about how awesome you are. And I'm not going to quite do that. But I did level something he said there. He said, I'm not here doing anything I'm doing without your podcast. And honestly, that is kind of the way I feel. You've been so supportive of us at Junkies. I don't think I would have been able to do as well with that without your help. You know, you got us on the network, and we definitely kind of modeled ourselves a little bit after Trade Addicts. So I'm very excited to be here, and it's a little sad to see Junkies go. I've talked about it, that we may do something periodically, but the best part about it too was doing it with one of my best friends, Dustin. And that's kind of what I'm doing now too with you. So it kind of worked out perfectly.
Yeah. And if all you people out there haven't listened to the last episode of Dynasty Junkies yet, you absolutely have to, because I don't know, man, like they cliffhangered us real bad. Like if you get to the very end, Rocky goes, he's like, all right, Dustin, for the last time, take us out. And then the music starts. Dustin, the beautiful, wonderful man that he is, edits the podcast and edited out his last Junkies out. Like
the only time Rocky, he's ever done that.
Right? Like Rocky made the joke, it's like the ending of The Sopranos. It just sort of went black. Like, did it end? I don't know. What happened? So it might just magically start showing up again. We don't know.
You never know.
Okay, well, we have a guest today. So guest person, why don't you introduce yourself?
My name is Eric Romoff. I'm a co-founder of Pros with Joes for Charity, and I have a trading problem.
Yay! We have a guest. Yes. Okay, so you mentioned right away your Pros with Joes thing. So this is something that if you out there listen to the DAP Network, which you 100% should, if you are not subscribed to the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, I would... Okay, you know what? Pause the show. I normally would never tell someone to stop listening, but no, pause the show and go subscribe to the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. Because not only do you get this awesome show and Fantasy Timeline, you get Real with Casey Kasem, who was part of the Pros with Joes this year. It technically is still this year. I can still say that. And she talks about that before her shows. So there you go. Full DAP circle. Look at that. You're bringing it all around. So stop me from rambling. And why don't you tell everyone out there what your charity Pros with Joes is?
Yeah. So to go even more full circle is actually the episode of Get Real where Casey was interviewing Russ, where he and I got connected and brings me here today. Right. So to kind of echo Rocky's point, Russ, you've been awesome in welcoming people in and sharing your platform. In terms of what we do at Pros with Joes for charity, so we're a charity fantasy football league. We raise money for good causes by playing the game that we love. What's a little bit different about ours is instead of pitting players against these industry experts, we actually raffle off these experts as a prize, with all of the money going to their charity of choice, and the winning player gets to co-manage a team with that expert. So Casey, for example, was playing for Dallas Dogger. So she was the prize in a sweepstakes. As people donated to her charity, they got entered for a chance to win. And then all of that money went to Dallas Dogger, and she actually made a pretty solid playoff run here in our first year. So we were really floored with how quickly we got traction with this idea. You know, we were originally thinking it might be 10 or 12 people that we could kind of beg or plead to participate. We ended up with 56 pros this year. So 122, if I can do math, participants in total. We've raised close to $10,000. We're actually still raising money now. It's going to go to our winning pros charity. So it's currently Dave Richard facing off in the finals this week. I think he might have actually locked it up a few plays ago. So all of that money is going to his charity, which is St. Jude's. So if people wanted to donate, they could head to our donor center. It's proswithjoes.rallyup.com/trophy. When you donate, you get entered into a sweepstakes. We're giving away all kinds of cool stuff: a spot in the league next year, autographed memorabilia, one-on-one coaching sessions with our pros, giving away about 50 things in total. So, you know, get over there, make a donation. It'll go to St. Jude's, which is a fantastic organization, and also you'll be entered to win.
All right. And maybe I'm just saying you should skim a little off the top so you can afford some lighting in your recording area right now. And clearly I'm joking about skimming off the top and lighting in his area. Well, I'm not joking about it. If you were patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, you could be watching us record right now and see the floating head that is Eric right now. It's Jombie from
Pee-wee's Playhouse. That's just awesome. A floating head in the
like it's literally Eric, why don't you tell the story of why you are a floating head?
Yeah, so very long story short, My wife is trying to con me into buying a camper or an RV. So she has set us up with what have been truly nightmarish tent camping situations. So we're coming back from a primitive campsite that we slept at for maybe about 2 hours in total last night. So my household is a mess. My children are screaming. I think one of them is still naked. And so I am hiding in the car, a.k.a. a floating random head for all of the Patreon subscribers up.
Yeah, and that's such a go-to move, right? Like, oh man, kids are so loud. It's cold. Well, you're in Texas, so it's not too cold for you, but here in Jersey and Philly, it's like, I'm just going to go sit in the car, turn it on, put the heat on and play some podcasts, play games on my phone. Just, I need time.
Man, we botched the timing on this. It's 75 right now. Last night we got down to 31 where we were camping. Wow. And we were lucky enough to pop a hole in our tent. So we were all slowly recovering from hypothermia. But I'm definitely enjoying the fairly mild Texas winters now that we're back in the 70s.
And that is why I do not go outdoors pretty much ever. That just, yeah. No.
Yeah, I hate the cold.
And, you know, if Brian were still here, he'd be making fun of us and calling us names, but because he loves his outdoors stuff. But nope.
I'm with you, Russ.
Nice. All right, cool. Okay. So as is tradition with all of our first time guests, which Eric is a guest on our show for the first time. Yes, words in the correct order. Eric, how long have you been playing fantasy football?
I've been playing fantasy football since 2003. I bartered and pleaded my way into a work league where at a place where I was part-timing while I was still in college. So, you know, that was the first year I got to play. I had to kind of pass a little trivia, a little quiz to show that I knew at least enough about the NFL to participate. Made my way in. Actually, I won that league in the first year. I mean, it was early enough in the 2000s where getting the 1-1 or the 1-2 kind of locked in a title for you. So I was lucky enough to draw that 1-1, and I think I got Sean Alexander that just rode me to the title in that first year. So it's been a good stretch, 17 years or so. And because I won in that first year, it definitely boosted that addict status, right? I'm chasing that first high still.
Yeah, those early 2000s were so nice with the 101, because you just went from like Sean Alexander to LaDainian Tomlinson to Adrian Peterson. It was just nice and easy for a couple of years.
Totally.
That quiz thing is great too, by the way. I'm going to drop another 80s reference that a lot of people won't get. I don't know if you guys, did you guys ever see Diner? Where the guy has to gives his wife a quiz, his fiance a quiz to prove they can get married. That's what made me think of when you just said that.
Oh man, I haven't seen it, but no. I'm rethinking my process now.
Now, see,
it's a sports quiz, by the way.
I took a much less high road approach, like when setting up work leagues and stuff like that. I'm like, do you know football? Yes. All right. Just fine. Just please don't suck. I don't want to deal with it like that. And if they still like put up with my annoyance of that little begging, pleading, they would be in. And of course, halfway through the season, no one was doing anything and it was just annoying anyway. But how long have you been playing Dynasty? Do you play Dynasty? I realize I never actually talked to you about.
Yeah. So I'm actually coming off of my first full season playing Dynasty. I sort of co-managed or kind of consulted on a team for a few years and just actually inherited it this year. So, got to dive right in. At least from what I think, nailed the rookie draft, ended up with T. Higgins, with Claypool, with Pittman, and got unlucky in the semis. I'm a Kamara owner. So got bounced out and we actually had a team win for, a team win their third title. So we reset and go back to zero next year. So build all this rookie talent and now get it wiped away and start from scratch.
Yeah, you could have stopped with T. Higgins. I'm like, nope, yeah, you crushed that draft, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Boy.
Oh, my God. Oh, man, we should have done that in the Trade Addicts Leagues just to piss off, because, man, Spoonie is going to win his third straight.
I was going to ask you about that, dude. Yeah.
He's going to, and there's a couple, let's see, who is it? Memphis is going to win two straight, I believe, in TA7. Scott in TA5, I think, is going to win 2 in 3 years. So I guess that doesn't necessarily, like, it's weird. Like, I get that this is a game of dynasty where you're supposed to be building these dynasties, but not until I started the Trade Addicts Leagues have I actually seen the same teams do well consistently.
Exactly.
It wasn't really hard to do that. It wasn't like catching the lightning. It was like you literally built a very good team. And I hate that they're my leagues where I brought these good people in. Like, I really should have done research to find more bad people so I could actually win. But I will take this moment to announce, if you haven't seen, thank you, second place Bill Latin, for coming in second place, because I freaking won Trade Addicts 6. And I literally began to cry when I checked the score, because I was getting crushed to the point where I did the dick thing of being like, congrats, bro, you won, you know, in the middle of the day on Sunday. But Devontae Adams is now my hero. He's now just my favorite player in the world because he crushed it and brought me back. And
The reverse jinx worked for you.
It really did, and I don't care. I will accept that. I am fine with that because, man, after 15 years, I finally won a league I commish. 15 years. I have nothing else to complain about after that now, so like I'm going to be such much a cheerier person going on. But let's get back to Eric. This is about Eric. I have a hard time not talking about myself when it comes to stupid things. So this is your, I love talking to new people in Dynasty because it's such a different question when you ask, like, what are some of your best and some of your worst trades? Because like the level of good and bad is so different from someone in their first year to someone who, like Rocky and me, have been doing this for a bunch of years, because like you, like there's a different understanding of what bad really is when you see cross year. Like Stefon Diggs is crushing it right now, and I traded about like 3 years ago, traded Steph Diggs straight up for Jay Ajayi.
Hey.
Like that's a level of bad you cannot understand.
Still in the league?
No.
No.
right off of that season where he rushed for two straight 200-yard games, and then Adam Gase happened. But what are some of the good, some of the bad trades you made this year in Dynasty?
Yeah. So at least from my perspective, I don't think I knocked it out of the park with anything. I managed to acquire DJ Shark for a second rounder heading into the draft. I managed to ship out Todd Gurley and his arthritic knee for a better second rounder than the one that I sent out to get Shark. So basically swapped them out. Was pretty happy with that transaction. Arguably my worst move of the year, with there being so many teams that could win and kind of reset the league, I had to make a play to try to win it now. So I went out and I overspent for Julio Jones. I got Julio, KJ Hamler, and a fourth round in 22 for Pittman, Sutton, and a second round next year. So went out and paid a pretty hefty price tag for Julio. The week that I got him was, I forget who they were playing now at this point, but that week he went out. I think he had 8 grabs in the first half. He scored like 35 points. And then after that was when he was really on and off the field with injuries. So I got a good game out of him, and now it's all kind of for naught because we're all back to zero. But that was one where I definitely had some pretty major buyer's remorse.
I was just going to say,
it's really good though.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, I traded for Julio. I got one up on you on that, because I traded for Julio coming into the playoffs and he has not played the entire playoffs. I traded him on like a Monday or Tuesday. I gave up a first and a second for him for my playoff run and got 0 out of him. And I awesomely won the third place game this week.
Something, right?
Yeah, without Julio.
Man, I've got a lot of Davante Adams. I've got a lot of Alvin Kamara, and I'm just crushing the third place games this week.
I'm actually 5 for 5 on third place games this week.
Solid.
Go me.
And just for tradition's sake, you probably outscored the two teams in the championship bracket by a good 40 points.
And at least 3 or 4 of them, yeah.
Yeah. It's just how it works every time. This is the game we play.
Yeah. But at least if you play in nice leagues, like the Trade Addicts leagues are, third place at least should give you your buy-in back, in which case that helps pay for next year. So you got to think positively, even though you're crying, because third place doesn't really mean anything. It just means you didn't win, right?
Yeah.
I do need to give a huge shout out to Tyler Karp at @DFF_Karp. Not only did he just crush Matt Price in the finals of TA8. He did it literally scoring the highest score in Trade Addicts history.
Wow.
Out of all of the leagues. Before tonight's game, he had 307 points, which before that, the highest score in any Trade Addicts league was 277. So he, tonight, beat it by 30. In all 8 for all the years, all of the leagues have been going.
Wow.
He finished at 307. So yes, 307.6. That is, just in case anyone's listening, be like, oh, I've totally scored that much. 12 team super flex PPR and 10 starters. So 300's a lot of damn points. Let's just put that out there.
And to do it in the championship game too.
right? But
good
like,
show.
If I'm the guy going against that, you're just like, okay, not meant to be. That's fine. I could have taken another dude's team and started it with my team and still lost. So I can't really be upset about it. Like, forces of nature were just like, nah, man, take a step back.
Right. Yeah. I've heard from a lot of people going up against Kamara this week, and you know, they're talking about how it ruined their Christmas and their whole weekend. And for me, like, if I'm going to lose, I'd rather know that I'm going to get my ass kicked and lose early, you know, and just move on with my day.
Yeah, I mentioned in one of the chats I'm in with Russ, I have a league where I made the finals and the other guy had Kamara, and I scored a 211, and never at one point did I think the entire weekend I was winning. That's how bad it was. He ended up with 240. He had a crazy thing roster too. He had like, he had Godwin and Brady and a whole bunch of Juju, a whole bunch of other guys that did well too. So even though I scored 211 points, I never at any point had any hope of winning. And I had Devontae Adams go off for 44 last night. Didn't matter.
So. Yeah, nothing's worse. I'll complain about this to the day I stop playing fantasy football, and then I'll complain about it more after that. In the Cartoon Do-Gooders Alliance, I lost by 0.39 to Steve. Yeah, and I will never stop complaining about that, especially because I played Steve again this year in the finals, and at least he whooped me this time. You know, I would much rather lose by 200 points than by 0.39, because I still cry about that at night. But let's try one more time to get back onto the last question of our interview. What is a guiding principle you take with you when you are either evaluating or offering a trade?
Oh man. Offer early and offer often. At least in the leagues that I participate in, you know, the people that are most active in the trade markets are the ones that are finding themselves A, making the most trades, but B, finding themselves really improving their roster by way of trade, right? You know, there's this sort of tendency to, and certainly not for this audience, but there is a tendency out there for people to look at these assets that they've gathered through the draft or through free agency and really want to hold on to them as their own. Right. So, I mean, every single week I'm looking at my roster, I'm trying to determine who's at their high point, who I can potentially go, you know, target, who might be at a low point and improve my roster overall. So I think a lot of it really lives up to the namesake of this podcast, right? You have to be looking for opportunities. And if you look at the league as more of a fluctuating market, they're always there, right? You have to double click on your research a little bit, but you know, there's always an opportunity to improve your roster. You know, this year more than any, I put a lot more emphasis on depth, just with the uncertainty around, you know, which team is going to, you know, have a COVID scare the day before their game. So that definitely had me a bit more active, but a lot of it's just about getting out there and really kind of gauging where people are, how they evaluate their players, you know, who they're willing to move, you know, where they're looking to improve, and you know, work in the market.
Yeah, no, that's exactly like you make a great point that a lot of when I tell people how much I trade and everything and all of that, every once in a while I get like, well, you don't always have to trade, to which my answer is, unless you literally have an unbeatable team that you can literally never lose, regardless of what happens, you could always make your team better.
Yeah.
So exactly like you just said, every single week, why not look around to see if what you have can help someone a little more and you take something off their hands to make your team better? Like, why wouldn't you want to make your team better every single week? Ooh, okay, hold on. I know we don't normally do trade questions from the chat, but I really have to. Nick Martinez threw this one in. Got a guy offering me Julio and Justin Jefferson for T. Higgins and Allen Robinson. Like, I'm staring at that kind of broken because I love almost every player in that trade. And I think it's the home, like the two of my boys are on one side. So I think I'm sticking with Higgins and A-Rob. I know Justin Jefferson is the new hotness and Julio is the solid old vet, even though he just complains that he missed the entire playoffs. But I think Higgins and A-Rob, I think I stick with that. I am not being very sure worded about it though.
No, I'm with your boys, Russ. I think it's Higgins and A-Rob. Julio's value is declining. It's going to be 32 next year.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sure he'll still score when he's playing, but we saw it with AJ Green, and you have to worry a little bit since he's had some problems this year. He's going to stay on the field, and I love Justin Jefferson too, but I think Higgins' value is going to shoot way up too. I mean, I think he still produced some even without Burrow. I just think sky's the limit with Higgins, and we all know what A-Rob can do.
Yeah, people still hate him. I play mostly in leagues without trade deadlines, and so many Terry McLaurin trades happened before on Sunday morning, and someone sent me straight up, well, what the hell? He's usually in the chat, so I'm just going to call him out. Larry Monkey sent me straight up McLaurin for A-Rob, and I'm just like, no thanks. Because first of all, if you're trying to win and I'm not, you should be paying a premium for that. And I have A-Rob well above McLaurin. And he just replies, I really just don't like A-Rob, so I'm not going to bother. And I'm like, what does a dude have to do for you to top 12, regardless of who his quarterback is? Yeah. And again, and another reason to bring this up, fellow Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network bro, co-host, whatever the hell we are, Josh Valentin, he beat Larry in the Dynasty Trades HQ 1 Listener League. So there you go, bringing it around, right back to the network.
Russ knows how to pump the network.
Oh yeah, gotta do it. Okay, so I know it is week 16, but I needed to do this one piece of news. Jared Goff underwent thumb surgery, and something named John Wolford is going to start next week.
You missed the biggest piece of news in there.
What's a John Wolford?
They're also signing Blake Bortles off of Denver's or whoever, wherever he's at, practice squad. That's the big
I did news. Not see that. Oh yeah. My.
That's the report anyway. I don't know if it's official yet, but yeah,
well, let's.
I'm
let's,
hoping for some Bortles.
Okay, but let's since we are a fantasy football show, let's first talk about the important part of this news. God, I hope you do not play in playoffs that go into week 17. Because, I mean, this is an injury that could have happened whenever, but so many players are going to be sat this year, I think, more than normal. Especially because, well, it's nice to play at home. Only the one seed gets the bye, so you're not fighting for the two seed as hard as you normally would have. So I think they're going to see more teams sitting back and resting their players, in which case week 17 is just going to be awful. And like that's the ultimate, let's introduce some variance into who the hell wins our championship, right? It's like you do everything throughout the season to, we do victory points or double headers or, and you know, to get the best teams scoring more points. And then you do one or two spots for points four or all play instead of just records based to make sure you get the best teams into the playoffs. And then you play week 17 and you have to play John Wolford or Blake Bortles. It's just like, like,
yeah, it's week 17. I've literally never played in a league that plays week 17. It's insanity. I don't know why anybody would ever do it. I just, like you said, you said it perfectly. There's just so many guys who don't play in any normal year. And like you said, this year, maybe even more so, because there's not as much incentive. I mean, maybe there's some more guys towards the bottom because that will play because there's more teams in the running for the playoffs with the seventh seed. So maybe it evens out, but there's literally no point in having it. I don't want to insult people, but it's dumb. Week 17 is dumb.
Should have asked before. Pros with Joe's, that stops at 16, right?
I know.
It does, and I'm not shy about insulting people. If you play in week 17 and this impacts your roster, you get what you deserve.
I did not want to call Pros with Joe's dumb, so I'm very happy to hear that.
Yeah, right? Like, oh, man. I would have had to just, like, cut this and start all over.
Yeah.
Oh,
boy.
Yeah. So the way that we give away all of our charitable donation is exclusively on week 17 points.
Yes. There you go. Only if you start a backup quarterback. There are two things. Like, I am Mr. Don't Insult Anybody because I need everyone to like me. There are two things I will just say no to. Week 17 playoffs. And two tight end leagues. Two tight end leagues are the worst. I hate every aspect of it. But we're going to just move on from this part because it's just not going in a great direction. Now that we are getting into our non-point scoring season, because yes, I get it. Right now, it is still technically the season, but by the time you hear this, it won't be anymore. So I want to talk about what's next. What is next on for every aspect of the fantasy player right now? And I know Rocky commissions a couple of leagues. You said, Eric, you're just in one dynasty league. I'll assume you don't run that league.
I don't, no. I've got a few other leagues that I commission myself, but they're not of the dynasty variety.
Okay, well, let's ask real quick, because I don't run any non-dynasty leagues anymore. Is there anything you have to do once the season's over besides payouts?
Not really. At least with the ones that I still commission, I've tried to kind of walk back from that responsibility as much as I can. but most of them, it's the same pool of people, right? So, I'm a big proponent of having a league constitution, right? I want all of those rules written mm-hmm. down. So if there's, you know, any proposed changes to that constitution that I want to make, or anything that we want to vote on, if we want to talk about changing the buy-in or the payout, like all of the boring kind of housekeeping stuff, we'll usually try to tee up in the off season. And then, you know, really where most of the energy and effort goes to is planning the draft itself, right? Where you want to mm-hmm. do it, if we want to go somewhere, what sort of shenanigans we want to do to, you know, determine our draft order, you know, things that are all of sort of the nonsensical nature are really all that you can think about in a redraft format, right?
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, you did have one thing that ties in nicely into Dynasty is league change proposals. I guess that's the word. So let me just, I started writing myself notes because I needed to tomorrow. I was complaining to Rocky about how impatient I am. Like I'll say it for like the fourth time today on this show, but like, you know, games are still going. The season is not technically over. I want to get going already as a commissioner. I have a couple of people I know are leaving. I want them replaced. I want to post a message board about, hey, confirm you're coming back next year, because I want to replace you already if you're not. In my leagues, we do second chance dispersals with new owners. So I want to get that going already, because I know I want to jump in a few just for the hell of it. What else is there? You do a thread about, hey, if you want any rule changes, drop in here. And I know a few of them, I'm definitely having some ideas. I hate the freaking weighted lottery. I don't know why I did that as TA3 definitely does it. I think 2 does also. I don't remember anymore. But
I've voiced my hatred for it in TA3 as well.
I don't know why I voted for it. It's one of those things where there are very, very few things I am comfortable commission with an iron fist kind of thing. This, I think, is something that needs to be brought to a vote. And I really hope it just passes, because I hate the lottery. I think it's a terrible idea. I don't know why we did it. I don't know what I was thinking. And I'm sorry if you're out there and you love your weighted lottery. More power to you. As a commish, that is pretty much a list of what I'm doing. The other thing I wrote down is I took over running a league that has a trade deadline, and clearly the season's over, trading starts right away, so I need to go back in and give everyone the ability to trade again. Other than that, as a commish, I mean, honestly, I'm probably going to start with payouts tomorrow, like right away as fast as I can, because I hate that responsibility of having that just sitting there weighing over me. So I'm definitely going to start reaching out. What's your email? What's your email? What's your email? And I should probably start saving those, because like I really have a pretty, low turnover rate that, and like I said, the same people are doing pretty well. So I should just keep track of these things, but organization is maybe not my strong point. But Rocky, do you have anything else that I haven't thought of as a commissioner, what your next step is?
I don't know if there's anything else. I mean, I'm with you. I might even get some payouts tonight if I can. I'm actually made a list last night of who gets exactly what amount and for all the ones that I knew for sure in my five leagues. So that's something. I kind of tend to wait on the rule changes thing a little bit until more like February-ish. But I'm with you on the other stuff. We were talking about it. I have at least one owner I know is leaving one of my leagues, and I'm already ready to find a replacement for him. It's funny too, because you mentioned as a commission and a GM, and I as a commish, I'm impatient. As a GM, I more tend to like decompress at this point. I don't do the like super active thing right after the season ends as much as I am in season. So maybe because I know I'll be too busy with commissioning, I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, I think you pretty much covered most of it. The rule changes, the payouts, the replacing owners, all that stuff. I definitely like getting, especially the replacing owner thing, I think is good to get on right away. I'll be putting that on my chats tomorrow. You know, let me know if you're coming back. You know, I mean, I'll give them time. Like, let me know, you know, by sometime in January or something. I won't rush it, but I'm asking tomorrow.
Yes, exactly. And then let's spin that to the other side of being a GM. Don't be afraid to leave leagues. It's funny. I still hear so many people saying, oh, I want to leave this league, but I feel bad. I have two leagues that I can't leave because I am way too good of friends with the owners and I don't want to get yelled at is really what it comes down to. Like, you know, and it is those, one of the leagues is like, this is my interaction with the guy. Like, you know, we are two insanely busy people. We don't get to talk very often, but we play in a fantasy football league together. So I'm never going to leave that purely because of that reason. And the other one, I'm way too good of friends with him and he would just give me shit every single day of the rest of my life if I ever left this league. So I'm just going to just keep going. And I lost third place. I didn't even get third place this year. Jerk. But no, because like a lot of people just keep saying like, oh, I feel bad. I will tell you right now, I could only speak for myself, but as a GM and with whatever GMs I've dealt with, nobody really cares. Just going to put it out there. Nothing against you, whoever you are, that is afraid to leave a league. In this day and age of Twitter and message boards, it's so easy to fill a spot that you aren't doing anything hurtful to this person, unless you're me leaving my best friend's league, in which case, yes, that's just a dick move on my part. But like you're even like a league that you are in with people you know from Twitter. Like I've been talking to the same people for many, many, many years online at this point. I'm going to leave one of those leagues and I can 99% guarantee you the commission will be like, all right, cool. No, you have too much on your plate. That's fine. I mean, if that 1% happens, he's dick about it. Like, all right, you know, I won't talk to you for a while. That's fine. But like, seriously, the point of this game is fun. It's a game. Game equals fun. Why are you going to be in a game, playing a game that doesn't make you happy? Why are you going to be in a league that you're just upset to be in? It makes zero sense. And I don't know if it's easier or harder to leave a league in Dynasty or Redraft, because at least with Redraft, like, you're handing a brand new start to someone else.
Yeah.
But like in Dynasty, I guess if only one team, if like if you're the only team that leaves, you're handing something over. I guess we'll wait for a future show to talk about dispersals and stuff like that later on. But I mean, at least it's a little bit of a newer start when you go into stuff like that. How do you feel? Like, are you one of those people, Eric, that is just like terrified of leaving leagues?
So generally speaking, no. You know, I've tried to kind of pare back how many leagues I carried over the last few years. So I'm down to a cool 7 now. There was a point where I had, you know, a dozen, 15, whatever. And it was like, if someone just looked at me the wrong way in the draft, I'm out. Yeah. Finish my league, here's my dues, you know, whatever. But now I kind of got it down to the ones that are really most important to me. And for those ones in particular, I can't do it. Like, there's one league, it's a keeper league, so it's straddling the fence between redraft and dynasty. Yeah. And it's 16 people. All 16 people have been in this league for 15 years. Wow. So like, it's almost like a staring match. Like,
you can't be the first one to go. First?
No. Yeah, exactly. But like, I hate almost everything about this league. I love the people. same story, right? Like, it's how we've all stayed connected over these years. We all met in college. Now we've all got kids and shit and, you know, barely even talk to people outside of fantasy. But like, the format's terrible. The scoring's horrible. For the longest time, it played in 17. I finally got enough people behind me to move it up to 16. But like, everything about this league I hate. But I can't be the first one that just drops out and breaks this what's soon to be 16-year streak.
Oh, that's fantastic. Not for you, but for me listening, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I just grit my teeth and bear it every year.
And I will say I'm right there with you on the replacing owners thing. As a commish, I don't care at all. I've had people leave my leagues every single year. It's like, you know, whatever you got to do, you got to do. I don't know if it's easier, but I think it's just as easy to replace a guy in it, especially for people who are on Twitter like we are. I mean, there's so many degenerate dynasty players. You can have the worst team and someone will see that and be like, yeah, I want to take that on.
Yeah, I like that challenge. Yeah.
I have no picks and this team is crap, but I want to take that challenge. So I've never had a problem finding an owner either. So yeah, if you're worrying about leaving a league, you know, just do it. It's no big deal.
Okay, so let's go. You know what? We have been just like rushing through Trade Addicts trades so much because we do listener questions first. I want to do a couple of Trade Addicts trades first. And I am doing this for another reason of hammering home why people's arguments for trade deadlines are wrong and stupid, even though I, for some reason, brought on a co-host who likes trade deadlines.
I have actually switched on that, Russ.
Oh?
Over the last year, all my leagues voted in no trade deadlines. And I've gone along with it, and I am totally on board. So you do not have a co-host that likes trade deadlines.
All right, good. I feel better now. Like that was like the one.
I thought you were going to say you've changed that position since you started co-hosting.
No, but it's probably partially because of course Russ has converted me listening to the pod. So,
hey, but that is the kind of ask history I will absolutely accept. Okay, so we're going to do some Trade Addicts trades. Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team super flex PPR tight end premium 1.75 points for tight end receptions with 0.05 points for return yardage, except for Trade Addicts one. Whew. Okay, so the reason I wanted to bring some of these up is because, like I said before, one of the biggest arguments that people give for no trade deadlines is people can just go and buy championships. And my argument against that is always, you think I know what I'm doing? Like, you think I know who's going to score points next week? No, it's a gamble just as much. And so I'm going to go through a few. Well, not in a Trade Addicts league, but I traded for Jarvis Landry 2 days ago. The freaking Browns team was out with COVID on, what was that? Was it even on Saturday they announced it, or was it even on Sunday morning? Like, on Saturday. At first they announced a couple of wide receivers, and I'm just like, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? Oh my God. Anyone but Landry. And of course it was Landry. But that wasn't a Trade Addicts league. But okay, so let's go. Let's start with Trade Addicts one. James Robinson for Gus Edwards, Marquise Brown, and Jalen Guyton. What do you think of that one, Eric?
Man, it's tough without knowing the full roster context, right? I'm imagining the side that's getting the package has some holes to fill. But James Robinson is one of my favorite players, especially in a dynasty context, right? Like the Jaguars, because they've been gifted this first pick with from the Jets, their offense is on an upward trajectory. They already did the hard thing by finding what looks to be a premier talent at the position from an undrafted free agent. So I think his role there is pretty well solidified, and I think that offense is going to be improving in the years to come. So I'll go with the Robinson side.
So this is exactly what you said. I traded away James Robinson for Gus Edwards, Marquise Brown, and Jalen Guyton because I lost in the playoffs, and this was to a team in the finals, and James Robinson did not end up playing. So there. Yeah. But fortunately for Spoonie, this is not where it ends. He then traded Christian McCaffrey, James Robinson, and Kenny Stills for Austin Eckler and frickin' Alvin Kamara. So that right there was about 85 points in that trade.
Yeah.
So like he definitely just spun that around real nice for him. But like in the first place, like he kind of could have gotten screwed if he didn't magically be freaking fantastic with CMC still on his bench. Okay, but yeah, no, we're gonna move on from that one. I in Trade Addicts 4 traded Tyler Lockett for Marvin Jones. Now, here's the thing. I'm a Seahawks fan. I love Tyler Lockett as a player. As a fantasy asset, at the beginning of the year, loved the guy. He has not scored more than 10 points, except for that one game where Patrick Peterson just shut down DK Metcalf. He has not scored more than 10 points since like week 6. So I'm like, I'm going to trade Tyler Lockett for the dude that scored 30-something points last week. So I trade for Marvin Jones. I go, I set my lineup. All right, rock and roll. I check my lineup Sunday morning. I see that Marvin Jones scored like 3.9 points. Wait, why is Marvin Jones on my bench? I put in Zay Jones by accident. So I caught it in time. So I was able to take out Zay Jones and put someone else in. I still got crushed. Don't get me wrong. But like, again, Tyler Lockett didn't do well either. So it's not like I dodged any bullets in any way, shape, or form in that trade itself. Man, I would have been crushed if Marvin Jones did go off for 40. I probably would have tried and switched it with my commish powers and hoping the guy didn't notice. I would never do that. Okay, maybe I would. But again, I was half right, assuming that I still just didn't think Tyler Lockett was going to do that well. But Marvin Jones, man, whatever the hell happened with the Lions, who the hell knows? Let's see. Yes, and I'm very aware that the value on that trade was very off. But
yeah, and but I was with you. I mean, I get it because I was with you. I loved Marvin Jones. I started him in two of the four championship games I had this week. Yep. And I still managed to win one of them, thankfully. But yeah, the value is way off, but I get going for the points.
Yeah, and like I said before when I was talking about – man, what was I talking about when I said the
Not knowing what's going
to. Well, no, when you have to, like, you should pay a premium in the playoffs to try and get the pieces to win. And that's exactly what I did. And I was absolutely fine doing it. And clearly it just didn't work out for me in that sense.
And this is part of what converted me, too, is what we're talking about right here. I mean, we've given multiple examples, including my Julio Jones trade earlier of, you know, not knowing what's going to happen. I traded for him, I think, on a Tuesday. And by Thursday, it was pretty much everyone knew he was going to be out. And then he hasn't played since. So, yeah, and some team took advantage of me and got the first and a second round pick out of it. So,
yeah, and
I'm in a similar boat with Kenny Golladay, right? I was under the assumption that if he was going to miss the entire year, they would put him on IR, maybe.
Imagine that.
Yeah, so I've been rostering him for 5 or 6 weeks now, and gave up some real solid value for him, and he's just putting up donuts in my IR spot.
Yeah, I have a Golladay in one of my two their keeper leagues, and I've held on to, he's been on my bench the entire year, and with like 15-16 total roster spots, like that's expensive, you know, having someone just sort of taking up space.
Yeah,
and it just that, ugh, the team that loves shutting people down didn't just put Golladay on IR. I don't understand it. I hate it. Ugh. But I want to put another point to the argument against, man, I worded this awfully, like just terribly. Another reason not having a trade deadline is awesome. Let's talk about Trade Addicts too, where Brian Hart is going to beat me anyway. But we went out of last night, I should say. He was up by 30, and I had Josh Allen, and he didn't feel safe about that. Even though the last time the Bills played the Patriots, Josh Allen put up like 14 points. What was that eye roll, Rocky? What just happened?
I went into a championship game tonight where I needed Beasley and Moss to stay within 19 points of to stay within 19 points of Diggs. He just caught his third touchdown of the night. I am now down 12 points. 9 for something with 3 touchdowns.
Wait, what's the score?
38-9.
Yep, there it is.
9 for 145 and 3 touchdowns. I'm going to lose.
Oy, I am. Josh Allen cannot score 14 more points. That
my one hope is that they run out the clock a ton with Moss later in this fourth quarter and he gets me some points.
I am only down by 0.3 to Brian right now.
Was that TA2?
Yeah. Okay, so let me get back to the actual story about this and show you why Brian might win, because taking advantage of there not being a trade deadline, he didn't feel comfortable with the situation we was in. He traded a second for Cole Beasley, where he's like, in a normal situation, I would not be giving up a second for Cole Beasley, but this is the finals, man. Like, but oh man, I am not going to be able to talk for the rest of the show. I should not have looked.
I actually think Beasley is worth a late second, though.
Yeah, I'd be fine paying that because he, if anything, he's just super consistent. But
yeah,
like that's not the point. The but point is, tonight. Yeah, but like, there's moves you can make that aren't earth shattering that just are better for your team, and it's one of these things where I think it's something that people who are so adamantly against not having a deadline don't see that A, you can screw up super easily. B, that there are trades that are not earth shattering. They're like, no one's trashing their teams, but they're still putting their teams in better positions. Like, yes, I gave up a decent amount of value trading Tyler Lockett for Marvin Jones, especially Marvin Jones being much older, being on the last year of his deal, where the Lions probably won't bother holding on to him, which means Marvin Jones might be a dead asset at the end of the season. But I'm completely fine with that, even though I lost anyway. Wow, I did not realize how many trades there were. Two trades for Jeffrey Wilson. Oh, yeah, I traded Jeffrey Wilson away. I traded Jeffrey Wilson for C.J. Beathard, a 22 third and 22 fourth. And I mean, let's be honest, is Jeffrey Wilson going to be worth anything next year? Probably not. But man, did he help. He helped Karp set a TA record.
Yeah, and he still won't be worth more than a 22 third next year. So
nope. Okay, so we are going to jump into the listener questions, then we'll jump back into some Trade Addicts trades if we have time afterwards, because we only have three questions, but they're good ones. The first one from TA3 champion FF Trader Joe. Congratulations, buddy. I now feel better losing to you in the semis since you are now the champion. Because if you're going to beat me, you might as well beat the league.
He beat a stacked team, too.
Oh, yeah, Ben's team. Oh, man. Are we making any adjustments on how we judge this past season regarding COVID? So are you, I guess it's a little tough for you, Eric, because this is your first end of season. But are you going to start, I guess, evaluating your team, evaluating this season's production or value any differently because of what we went through, Rocky?
I mean, I don't really think so. I mean, everyone says, oh, this has been a crazy year, but I think every year we say it's been a crazy year. And I know we had the whole COVID issues, but I don't know that affected it too greatly. Maybe there were more injuries because of the lack of a preseason. But we have tons of injuries every year. We got all the games played, most of them within the same week. Guys missed a few games, but I don't see how that's much different than a guy missing a few games because of an injury. So I'm not really sure. Maybe I'm missing something. I'm not really sure what I should be judging differently just because of some of the COVID stuff that's gone on this year. I'm curious to hear your guys' answer to this, because to me, it's not that. I mean, like I said, there's, you know, it's been crazy from a week to week basis in terms of who's going to play, or, you know, is this game going to get played? We have to set up backup players as commissions. But in terms of the gameplay, I mean, once we get to Sunday, it seems like a normal Sunday every week. Just maybe there's a guy missing or two because of COVID. But it's not going to change my judgment on anything moving forward. I don't think. I don't see a reason to change anything.
What about you, Eric?
Yeah, I'm kind of in a similar boat, right? I don't know why there would be really any significant or material changes to a player's outlook going forward based on the COVID season this year, right? I mean, I am thinking and looking differently at front offices and coaching groups that maybe weren't able to, you know, keep their house clean, so to speak, and you know, found these outbreaks. But I mean, these are, you know, kind of nuanced considerations, right? I'm not really going to change my grading of a player's 21 outlook, you know, because their, you know, positions coach, you know, didn't run a tight ship and they all went out and, you know, picked up the cocoa. Right. So I don't think it really changes a whole lot about how I evaluate the players necessarily, but you know, when you're looking for those edges where you're trying to evaluate, you know, how a coaching staff might impact the outlook for a player, you know, these little things do, you know, ultimately play into that whole picture.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point. Like changing your opinion of like an organization as a whole. And I loved the wordplay on, you know, keeping their house clean, because that is, you know, I almost went like literally. The thing I think the use of, well, he was a top 12 wide receiver, might not work as well this year because there were guys that miss random weeks. So I think we're going to need to look more on a points per game basis as opposed to year end finish, which if you're.
I still think you could say that about any year, though. I mean, there's always.
Yeah, but there's more. There was more of a likelihood of missing a random game than there was in a normal year because there's an added level to it of why or how you would miss. It's not just because of injury. It was because some jerk in your depth chart went to a strip club without a mask on and then got cut. Oh, yeah, Dwayne Haskins got cut.
Formerly on your depth chart. Breaking news.
But it's just another added level. It's like both of you said, it's not something you need to change, but it's just a little asterisk on how you normally think about it. You need to take an extra second to, well, hold on. Was his team like the beginning of the year, the Titans, maybe you judge a little different because they were just being idiots and maybe their heads weren't in the right place when they were trying to play and all of that stuff. What about rookies? Nick, again, man, Nick Martinez like keeps this show afloat in this chat every once in a while. So thanks, buddy. Like, do you think, I think regardless of the off season, preseason, whatever we had, I think CeeDee Lamb would have shown out. I think Justin Jefferson would have showed out. DeAndre Swift, I was always a big fan thinking it was going to take him half a season. Same thing with J.K. Dobbins. Like, are we going to stick with our normal judge rookie running backs more harshly than wide receivers? Are you going to change any thoughts of how you think about rookies because of the lack of the preseason, a lack of camps and all of that stuff? Like, we were talking about this so much at the beginning of the season, like, don't judge the rookies too harshly. Don't judge the rookies too harshly, because are we sticking with that? Or is that just like a scared thing we said at the beginning?
I agreed with that at the beginning, but I'm not sticking with that because of what kind of you just said is that I'm amazed at how many of the rookies have shown out. There's been more of them than I expected. I mean, you said Jefferson and Lamb, what we kind of expected. Ayuk's looked great. Higgins has looked great. I'm sure there's other guys I'm not thinking of right now. And all the rookie running backs kind of eventually came around by the end of the year. So it doesn't seem to have affected a lot of the guys we thought were good. So that just kind of makes me – I think Nick mentioned Rager in the chat, unfortunately, Philadelphia Eagle. But that makes me doubt Rager's ability more, the fact that we've seen so many guys produce without a preseason. And, I mean, he's had some quarterback issues, certainly, but it worries me, actually. It might even worry me more, the fact that we've seen so many guys show out this year, and the ones that aren't, I'm a little more concerned about than maybe I – not even necessarily to do with COVID or anything, just because I've seen so many guys perform well right off the bat, it makes me more worried about the ones that aren't, that I thought were going to be good, like Rager.
I can't give up on Rager already. I mean, just on that specific example. No, but you're making a lot of sense right there. That's actually a very good point. Eric, do you have anything to add before we go on to the next question?
Nothing really different, right? I think the time to change our stance was heading into this year, and, you know, kind of giving those rookie players a bit more lead time before we expected them to contribute. And many of them sort of hit those historical marks or better, right? So I'd say, if anything, I'm actually a bit more bullish on next year's sophomore class than I typically am for a group of second-year players.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to our next question. At Real Fantasy TL, Dynasty Trades HQ Listener 1 champion, what will be the first thing you do to get ready for the 2021 season? Now, we talked about this a little bit in what do we do at the end of the season, but I want to talk a little bit more roster-esque about this, and mostly because I want to bring this into a question about a player, because my first normal move is to try and get rid of running backs because to me they hold the least value season to season. So I wanted to ask, is David Montgomery good now? Like, he was bad for so long, and all of us, like, the Bears, like, is Mitch Trubisky good now?
No.
Like, My brain hurts so much from this Bears' good schedule to finish the season. But, like, Trubisky's been doing really well. The Bears have scored, like, back, like, three straight 30-point games for the first time since, like, the 60s. I completely can be making that up. It was something along those lines. Like, their offense has been doing very well. And, yes, they have had a light schedule. But, I mean, maybe they finally found a groove. Maybe they're letting Trubisky be Trubisky. And his erraticism? Is that a word? His erraticness leads to better running for the running backs. Like, you know how we always say a mobile quarterback is good for the running back? And while Trubisky isn't necessarily a runner in any specific sense, but he scrambles because he just, like, runs around with the chicken with his head cut off sometimes. So maybe that opens up lanes for Montgomery. Like, I literally, because I have him on a lot of teams, Montgomery. Like, I bought him halfway through the season because I knew this schedule was coming. I did not see 30 points a game coming. Don't get me wrong. I will not claim that victory lap whatsoever. But my question to you two is, and I'll let Eric go first on this one, should I be trading him? And, like, how much should we be looking for David Montgomery? Like, do we think he's real?
So, oddly enough, I'll say yes to both. I do think that he's real. If you look at this stretch run that he's put together, yes, he's benefited from, you know, cupcake matchups, but also he's putting in the work, right? His yards after contact have been, I think, top seven over that period of time. His missed tackle percentage is top 10, right? So he's, you know, it's not just a cupcake matchup and he's, you know, he's skating through it. He's really making people miss. He's getting yards after he's getting touched. So I do think that there are some of those properties that will carry over year. In terms of your first question, should you trade him? Absolutely, right? Like, he's at his market high. So if you can get him at that full valuation, then you absolutely should flip him over and see what you can get for him.
I agree with the trade him. I actually already did in a league we're in together, Russ, that I got knocked out of the playoffs. I picked him up for the playoff run. I traded him in a Dynasty Awesome Sauce league that we're in.
Dynasty Awesome Sauce with our homies, with the homies, Dash for short. Thank you, Casey.
Yes.
Oh, yes. DAP Network, Casey Kasem, champion of the Dynasty Awesome Sauce with the homies league, which and she actually named after winning it.
Yeah. And I traded him and with Keelan Cole to a playoff team for Jerry Jeudy in a 2021 second before last week. So,
man, I still love that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I love moving him now. I picked him up in multiple leagues for playoff runs. I don't believe he's real. I think you said this on a previous episode. It probably applies to Trubisky as well. They didn't all of a sudden, I don't think they all of a sudden became good. We all thought they were not good. I don't think they're good because they faced a light schedule. Even to Eric's point, I mean, it's a good point with the you know, the missed tackle percentage, but maybe bad defenses miss more tackles. Yeah. So, I love selling. I mean, and also he's gotten, which is great if you're going for a playoff run, he's gotten tremendous volume and he's paid off on it, but Tariq Cohen signed an extension right before he got hurt. So that volume won't necessarily be as much next year. I mean, not that Tariq Cohen runs the ball a lot, but he's going to take snaps away from him that he's not doing now. So I think Eric's right that David Montgomery is definitely a guy you should be selling. Like you said, he's definitely, I don't think his value will ever be higher than it is now.
Yeah.
I can't stop staring at my phone with this TA2 matchup. I am tilting my face off.
Are you still at 0.3?
0.3 away, yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty much cooked. I'm still...
Nope. Josh Allen got benched.
That's rough. Oh, man. I mean, now we're up, what, 38-9 or something like that?
Doesn't Sean McDermott know I need 0.3 more points? My luck, I'd be up by 0.2 and then he'd kneel the ball twice.
I mean, that's like, what, maybe 5 yards or something? Passing.
No, I accepted the loss. I'm not going to start tilting about it now. I accepted the loss. Like, I need to be Bart Simpson on a chalkboard right now. Okay, so let's go to our last question from at FL2 Drink Minimum. Oh, damn. I didn't read this first. Why won't you repeat at champion in TA6 or any other leagues you won? Damn. More so, what should / can you do to a championship roster? First of all, I'm going to take a second and cry. So, Rocky, why don't you say what you're going to say? Because
I was just going to answer his first question, which is that it's damn hard to repeat in any league. I forget if I said this earlier in the show or before we started, but I had that league where I scored 211 points. I won that league last year, scored 211 points in the championship game, and got crushed by 32 points. So it's really hard to win back, despite, you know, like Russ said, us trying to build dynasties that win year after year. I don't see that a ton. So that's why Russ will not repeat at TA6 champion if he does not.
Oh, and also I need to give myself a little credit because I just spent like 20 minutes saying how I make bad trades and, you know, in the playoffs. I did trade Ben Roethlisberger straight up for Tom Brady.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, and Ben had a good game too, though.
Not as good as Brady. I only won by like nine or, well, I had Cole Beasley and he scored like 3 points. So I won by 12 points. Okay. So that difference may have actually like been exactly the difference between Ben and Brady. So I'll take credit for that.
Ben had you scared shitless for like a half too.
That did not start out well. Yeah. Okay, but let's answer the last. Actually, I'm going to ignore the first part of that question because it's just way too hurtful. So we're going to answer his only question he asked. What do you do with the championship roster? And my answer to that is the same thing I do with every other roster. Like I said before, your team can always be better. Your team is never. Can't say never because one dude's gonna be like, yo, I've won 6 years in a row. Good for you, bro. But like chances are you do not have an unbeatable team. You can always make your team a little bit better. Why not do that with the team that just won? The roster you have right now most likely won't win next year. So why not take advantage of value that you have right now? Like, is Davante Adams gonna be the wide receiver one next year? There's a good chance. Is he gonna give me the same margin between the wide receiver one and the wide receiver two as he did this year? Probably not. So do I take Davante Adams and trade for DK Metcalf plus a little? Sure, why not? Of course, Adam Wilde will not trade me DK Metcalf no matter how much I've tried, but besides the point. But there's nothing like downgrading a little bit to get stuff on top is to me like my favorite moves ever, because we love to think we can predict how things are going to go, but really, like, ranking people 1, 2, 3 isn't as good as saying these six guys are in a top tier to me. So if I can get one of those six guys in that tier and get a second or a very strong bench player on top, why not do that? Because it's very hard to guarantee. Like, okay, another thing I will actually take credit for, I said Davante Adams is going to be the wide receiver one because, man, he's awesome in man that volume. But brain froze, hold on. But it's not like that happens very often. It's not like you can easily go in and say, hey, I know this guy's going to be the wide receiver one, so let me go get him, let me pay up for him. So why not get a guy you think is in the same tier and get stuff on top of that? And, you know, I talked about what I love to do is the first thing is I love selling my running backs. And I have like, okay, TA6 is a bad example because I have Aaron Jones and that's it. Like him and Nyheim Hines are my two running backs. Aaron Jones is going to be a guy I'm probably buying because I love buying free agents, because most of the time, the second they sign somewhere, their value is going to go up. The second they get re-signed, their value goes back up again. Like, I bought so much Derrick Henry before he was re-signed because people were terrified of him not having a contract. I got lucky. Don't get me wrong. The year before this year, my most bought running back was Tevin Coleman. And we see that that did not go well. But those are the moves I love to make. The trade I said earlier, I bought Gus Edwards because he is a free agent. So one of two things is going to happen. He's going to go somewhere and be part of a committee, of which we've seen he can be a good part of a committee. Or he gets re-signed. Mark Ingram's gone because he's been a healthy scratch the last two games. And he stays in the same situation where he's still scoring points. Like, so I love going out and getting those guys that are going to be free agents because I love the volatility of it. I don't think it's always a smart move, clearly, because my Terrell Williams most owned player ship did not treat me well either. but it's fun. It's a gamble. We're playing a game. You might as well gamble a little bit, right? Don't be stupid. Don't like trade Davante Adams for 6 free agents or anything like that. But like, that's my move. I'm going to downgrade a little bit to get extra pieces, especially because I trade away all my draft picks and I love being part of the rookie draft, but also maneuvering things because value is all that matters in the non-point scoring season. So I'm going to try and get some of it. And I've been talking for way too long, so someone else talk.
Before I answer that question, and not to be too much of a kiss-ass, Russ, but didn't you also say Josh Allen would be the QB2 this year?
Behind Patrick Mahomes, yes.
He's QB6 right now, not including tonight's game where he has 320 yards and 4 touchdowns, by the way. So I don't know where that puts him, but I just thought that was interesting when you
mentioned I'll take it as a victory enough. That's close enough.
But you basically stole my answer, which is basically to do whatever you're doing, you know, with any other roster. I love everything you said. I'm with you too. Trying to get picks where you can, the downgrade thing. I guess with a championship roster, maybe depending, and there's different kinds of championship rosters too. There's, you know, you sneak in as a 6 seed and win a championship, and there's, you know, Spoonie winning 3 championships in a row. So, with the stacked roster. So it also depends on that. But like you said, I love getting some picks. You know, I love downgrading those quarterbacks. So if I happen to have a good one, I love using that move to downgrade to it, you know, someone lower in that tier, even down to the next tier and picking up, you know, some picks that way. Maybe, lean a little more, you know, towards thinking about points even this early. If you know, if you're coming off a championship and you're looking to repeat, I can see that. But I mostly just agree with everything you said. I saw this question on the show sheet, and that was my exact thought when I saw it. It was like, just do what you do with every other roster. Just make moves to improve it any way you can.
Eric, what you got?
Pat, yeah. Sorry, Eric.
Yeah, I don't know if I have much to add necessarily, right? I guess the advice framed differently is, don't bask in the warm glow of your championship, right? Realize that it took a lot of work and a lot of maneuvering to build that roster, and now is not the time to stop, right? So you've got your league in an interesting position. They're chasing, right? They did not get to the mountaintop, so you might have them on tilt a little bit, and now is the time to go out and try to accumulate assets, right? As many chips as you can drag to your side of the table, the better the position, so eloquently put it. The team that won this year is not going to be the team that wins next year. So keep an eye for how you can improve, how you can continue to add assets and go out and get it. The sooner the better, right? Everyone is feeling the burn from that loss right now.
Yeah.
And people still don't necessarily, I think, have rookie fever quite yet. So if you can start kind of making those moves in January, it's not a bad idea.
Faux show. Man, we are some eloquent people right here. Those were some great answers. Okay, so we have a couple of Trade Addicts trades I want to get back to, at least one or two, especially because we've been talking about him. We have a TA5 trade with David Montgomery. Now, keep in mind this happened before this week's games, but David Montgomery for Jalen Hurts. Now, Rocky, clearly I need your answer on this.
Yeah, I saw this one. It's like, this is right up my alley with the whole quarterback thing. But because I don't believe in David Montgomery, I would be totally fine with this. I think this is getting Jalen Hurts cheap, and that's my thing. I buy quarterbacks. I just try to buy them cheap. And assuming I'm not in a final coming into this week, or even if I was, Hurts was a pretty decent option going into the to your championship game, and he actually did fairly well. He had turnovers, but he had some passing yards, rushing yards, touchdowns. But yeah, I would pay this because of what we said about David Montgomery earlier. I don't think this is an exorbitant price to pay, and I do think Jalen Hurts is the starting quarterback for the Eagles next year. I know this last game wasn't as good as the first couple, but I just don't see any way this Wentz thing, as someone in Philly watching all this, I just don't see any way it's repaired. He let it leak out that he wants out, which duh, but but I think he will be starting somewhere next year as well. So go buy low on Wentz. But I like Hurts, and I don't think this is a bad. I think Montgomery's maybe worth a late first at this point. So if I'm paying a late first for a quarterback, that's the kind of thing I like to do. I don't want to pay 2 firsts or a high end wide receiver or something like that to get Josh Allen or whatever. But this is the move I like to make. And I just think once Wentz leaves, even though a lot of people think Wentz might leave, once Wentz leaves, he'll get that extra boost up in value. And if you want, you can move him for someone else then. So I would do this in a second.
Okay, Mr. Floating Head Man, who believes David Montgomery is a thing. What do you feel about this trade?
Yeah, despite my my fanboy status for Montgomery from earlier, I'm going on the Hurts side. If we're talking about a super flex format, yep, it's just so much more difficult to replace that top tier quarterback than it is really any running back for that matter, right? So I think there's a lot more scarcity in terms of how it impacts your roster. And I think the biggest point to highlight is just kind of the overall market perception of Hurts, right? There's a number of outcomes that can play out where his value increases between now and the start of next season. So if you can get him for David Montgomery, there are a bunch of outcomes where you can flip him for far more than David Montgomery in terms of return. So I like having those hot assets to play with.
Yeah. To the guy who traded away Hurts's defense, that was Karp, who traded for David Montgomery and then crushed Trade Addicts. Hurts was like his QB4. So, you know, he won. Can't hate on it. Yeah, except I was trying. I've been trying to lowball him for Hurts for weeks. And Montgomery, I'm like, all right, that's better than I've offered. But still, come on, man. You could have just given him to me eventually. You didn't have to do that.
Yeah, and I especially can't hate on somebody trading a fourth quarterback to get points at another position. So I don't mind that either if he ended up winning a title out of it.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, and let's go to another TA5 trade. I want to know, Rocky, if you think that this is enough for Deontay Johnson. Yeah. Jamal Williams, Deebo Samuel, and a late second.
No. you probably know of my Deontay man love. So I think he's the best wide receiver there. I think Juju's going to leave, which is going to make him even more valuable and help him score more points. And I'm not a big Deebo guy. I love what I've seen at Ayuk, and he's doing a lot of the stuff we expected Deebo to do, including some of that rushing, stuff out of the backfield as a receiver. And Jamal Williams is whatever. He's going to be a free agent. Maybe he gets more value, but I doubt it. And a late second doesn't do much for me. I think Deontay's a mid first at least at this point. And that's Jamal Williams is probably not even a second. There's another second, and then whatever. I'm not sure where I value Deebo right now, so I'll just take the piece that I know I can expect to score points and increase in value. So give me all the Deontay.
Yeah, real quick before I let you go, Eric, I just want to say if you have the time, go listen to fellow family of DLF family of podcasts, Dynasty Crossroads. Peter Howard just did a show on Deebo Samuel, which every show Peter Howard does is pretty awesome, so go listen to that. But how do you feel about this one on Deontay Johnson, Eric?
Yeah, I'm on the Deontay side too, but I think it's actually a pretty fair deal overall. It sounds like I'm a bit more in favor of Deebo than Rocky is, but not super high on him personally. The draft pick sounds about right. Jamal Williams, I mean, there might be some roster context where he makes a bit more sense, but it's a pretty equitable deal overall, but whenever I'm looking at these toss ups, I tend to err on the side of who's getting the best player in the deal, and that's still Deontay for me by a pretty good stretch.
Okay, cool. Last one we're gonna do, and this was another one of those everyone getting rid of McLaurin because he was missing the game in the finals. Melvin Gordon and Davante Adams for Terry McLaurin, Cole Kmet, an early second and a 22 second.
Yeah, I thought I just got into this league and I saw this come through, and I thought it was a little light for Adams, let alone getting Gordon on top of it. I love McLaurin. I definitely think he's potential low end wide receiver one, especially if they get a quarterback there, and he's already close to that without one. So with this quarterback, I love Scott Simpson tweeted out today strip sack when he got released.
That took me a second. That's fantastic.
But anyway, Komet's a nice piece in tight end premium, a couple of seconds, but Devontae Adams is a two first plus guy, and you're adding Melvin Gordon. That's just not, that value is not there on the other side to me.
Yeah, I agree. What about you, Eric?
Yeah, I think this is way under market. More than anything, I think it really illustrates just how far the Cole Kmet hype has gone in this world, right? People think that he's going to be the next Kelsey out there, and he certainly has a lot of upside. But this is well below what Adam should be pulling back in return.
All right. Well, that is the end of our show sheet. So that's the end of our show. Before we get going, Eric, why don't you remind everyone? Well, I guess let me just say who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do. But clearly, go over the Pros with Joe's stuff again.
Yeah. So I'm Eric Romoff. If you want to find me on my personal handle, it's at FantasyNav. I write a couple of weekly articles for GoingForTwo.com. But more importantly, we're still about 2 days out from closing our in-season fundraiser for charity Pros with Joe's. So anybody who wants to donate to now officially the St. Jude Children's Cancer Research Center, they can head over to our donor center. It's proswithjoes.rallyup.com/trophy. Get in there. You'll donate. You'll be entered to win a ton of prizes, a spot in the league next year, guest spots on podcasts, premium subscriptions, all the merchandise. We're giving away tons of cool stuff. So head over to that donor site, proswithjoes.rallyup.com/trophy. Give a little, give a lot, whatever you can spare. You'll be doing a ton of good with it. You'll feel pretty good about yourself, I can assure you. But also you'll be entered to win a ton of cool prizes.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on. And I'm going to do my spiel now. I mentioned it before, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can be watching us live stream and talking in the chat. You know, man, someone has to spell Nick every once in a while, because, you know, he's in here like almost every single week giving us stuff to talk about whenever I'm sort of like struggling for a second. So
Nick Martinez still messes with me, by the way.
the many Nick Martinez's. So that's one. And then there's the GroupMe chat, the Cool Kids Club, which is an awesome rockin' time where we have a ton of people in there talking everything from trades to food to beer, because at least every weekend night, I'll always take a picture of my glass with a cheers, and then we all start talking about whiskeys and stuff like that. Also, there is ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com, which is our store for fantasy football merch from all of your favorite podcasts, such as the Trade Addicts podcast, Get Real with Casey Kasem. Oh, Dynasty Junkies. I'm not taking that down. I'm leaving that up there. I don't care.
It doesn't
cost me anything.
It will survive in some form.
Yes. Fantasy Timeline, Superflex. Oh, I have to make the Superflex City stuff just because I want a sticker, because I love stickers. Dynasty Diagnostic, Devi Marketplace. I always forget things because there are way too many people. But I do want to point out, tomorrow there is going to be the Fantasy Football Honors show that Dingus is running. We are selling the shirts for that show in the FF Pod Shirts. So ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. There is even on the left-hand side, there's a collection that just says hashtag FF Honors. You could find the t-shirt in there. Like everything else, all money is going to go directly to charity. I don't remember offhand what charity his shirt goes to, so his shirts will go straight to him, so he can, the money I should say, will go straight to him for him to donate to his charity. But all the money from stuff purchased, oh man, it is bedtime, this is awful. Everything goes to charity. There's like all money goes to charity. We don't keep any of it. What we do is every 2 months we switch off what charity we donate to. So for the next 3 days, if you purchase anything, it will go to Partners in Healing, which is a charity that helps people fighting cancer pay their bills, not necessarily their medical bills, but, you know, their mortgage, their rent, their electricity, because the last thing you need to freaking go through while you're fighting cancer is your power going out. So It's an awesome cause that will help people going through some serious shit in their life. And plus, you get an awesome t-shirt and a sticker out of it, or a coffee mug. I love coffee mugs. That's another thing I need to make more of. So, Rocky, you need to come up with a charity within the next three, by next week, so we can announce it. So yeah. Get thinking on that.
Speaking of which, I just wanted to say, specifically to you, Eric, and with the Dingus thing, I think it's great what's going on with the charity stuff. And maybe I'm just noticing it more, but I think especially over this last year and the whole fantasy community, I think it's just blown up, this whole charity aspect of doing it. The whole community is so great, and I just wanted to point that out, that I just see so much more of this than I remember seeing maybe 2 years ago. And it's just probably a lot of it is Scott Fish inspired, I'm thinking. Oh, yeah. But yeah, it's definitely great stuff, and I just wanted to point it out. And also, if anybody's curious, I did lose by 5.93.
at least you didn't lose by 0.3.
Yeah, that's true.
Now I'm a little glad Brian doesn't co-host with me anymore, because, oh my God, every week I'd be hearing about that. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. I love you, Brian. But speaking of Brian not being on the show anymore, I have to get my kids to re-record the outro because it gives his handle and all of that. And plus, I didn't work in the DAP network stuff. So you can follow your hosts, me at Dynasty Outhouse, Rocky at Dynasty FF Addict. Thank you for having it up on the screen, because I always screw up you and Dustin.
Yeah, like, to this day. Everybody.
Whenever I'm the commish of a league that the two of them are in, because they leave their Twitter handles as their team names, I change it to their real names because I keep screwing it up. So you could follow us. I just gave you follow the show at Trade Addicts Pod. Follow the DAP network at DAP_network. Subscribe, rate, and review because you love us. Also, the DLF family of podcasts has its own stream where you can get all of the awesome DLF shows in one feed, which also Trade Addicts Pod, awesome show, worthwhile. You know what? Subscribe to us, subscribe to the DAP, and subscribe to DLF. That's how much you love us, right? I mean, Rocky, you've been here for like an hour and 30 minutes, but you feel it, right? That's how much they love us.
Oh, exactly. I can feel the love tonight, Russ. A Disney reference.
You have no idea how happy that just made me, because I know Rocky's not a Disney guy. And like, I could see the light bulb go off and be like, yo, this is going to be great.
Exactly what happened.
So we are going to go out on a high note. So good night, Rocky and Eric.
Good night, Russ.
Oh, where's the button?